This is Radio Free Galaxy. It's time to go.
This is the space age, and we are here to go.
3, 2, 1, 0. Through heaven and earth.
Welcome to Radio Free Galaxy. I'm Travis Lee.
I'm Teen Komar.
I'm Adam.
And according to Christine, this is episode 104 of Radio Free Galaxy. If she's wrong, I'll have to go back and edit that. Just kidding. I don't edit anything.
We know.
In this episode, we will... our feature content is Top Gun Maverick. If you want us to talk about anything else than Top Gun Maverick this week, you're shit out of luck, because that's all we really want to talk about, because we saw it last night and we are 100% in the danger zone.
We are so going to the danger zone.
I guess we'll talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi later. Stranger Things, we're up to the end of episode 4 and it's really good. Love it a lot. Don't have a lot to say about it right now. So we talked about it last week. When we get to the end of the first part of it, I think that's episode 7. Maybe we'll have some more extensive comments on that. But right now, just continuing to watch it. Episode 4 with Max is totally awesome. That young actress is amazing. It's a lot of fun. And anyway, yeah, we'll get back to that in future episodes, but yeah, it's all Top Gun all the time this week. So, if anyone needs a slightly shat upon office chair, we know where to get you one. We just saw an amazing post on Facebook Marketplace for a lightly shat upon office chair, so...
Someone I've always wanted.
Yeah.
And because Travis has looked at that and clicked on the clickbait... He's going to get nothing but German Scheisser videos and suggestions and office furniture for the next 2 years. Thank you, Google Analytics and Facebook.
Yeah. So. Anyway, what else have we been watching? Christine, you've been watching a lot of Puppet Master this week.
Yeah, you told me not to talk about the Puppet Master.
I didn't say not to talk about the Puppet Master. I just said I don't know if I really want to bring that up as a full-ass topic. Like, let's talk about Puppet Master.
There's no
new Puppet Master release or anything. It's just like, hey, Puppet Master is amazing, right?
They came out with one like in 2017, so technically they're still kind of rolling them out, but I'm only up to 5, and it's very confusing because there's demons involved and computer stuff. It's very strange. But I don't know. I really like old school, like little animatronic puppets and stuff. And then there's evil stuff going on, and there's like a bunch of Nazi killings. And who doesn't like a good Nazi killing with puppets?
Right. Yeah. You were watching which episode of which movie today of the series?
I was watching number 5.
Number 5, and I was just asking you a lot of questions because I know a little bit about the Puppet Master series. I'm like, is that Toulon? Where's Toulon? What's going on with Toulon?
He's kind of like a force ghost right now in Puppet Master. There's some kind of big demon dude trying to get the potion back, which makes no sense. And then there's this dude that does robotics who's friends now with the puppets, and hijinks ensue.
Right. So yeah, Puppet Master. Adam, you been watching anything?
Yeah, The Boys is back on.
Is the whole third season up or what?
No. You gotta watch it as it comes out. There's 3 episodes right now.
Okay.
And that's how bad Travis sucks. He didn't even remember the boys because he's been so distracted with other shit, like, I don't know, Top Gun.
Yeah.
And, actually, you decided to check out on HBO, whatever the F, Tokyo Vice, which is actually pretty fucking
Tokyo
good.
Vice.
Yes.
So, is it an anime or a live action? Oh,
it's actually based on probably actual events, a little bit of dramatization. I mean, it is HBO, it's kind of what they do, but it's quite enjoyable so far.
Cool.
Kind of digging it. Yeah.
All right. Tokyo Vice is a big recommend from Adam. Puppet Master is
only like 2.5-3 episodes in, but yeah, so far it's pretty good.
Okay.
It's all about the Yakuza, buddy.
And what can I recommend that I've been watching this week? I don't know. I haven't been.
His toenails grow.
Really. How about Top Gun Maverick?
Yeah.
You know, kind of goes without saying.
Fuck, man.
You'll find out why in just this moment here.
You'll find out why.
Whatever break we decide to take.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You guys got anything else you want to get to in the intro? I just kind of want to talk about Top Gun. Can we get to it?
Yeah, let's talk about Top Gun.
Let's talk about
Top Gun, Top Gun.
I'm just going to put this out there. Yeah. I'm sick of Mondays. I had a whole week of Mondays last week.
Yeah.
And my Monday was actually a Monday. Normally, I'm like full on aware and prepared for Mondays to suck at my work because it's just kind of the way it works when new people get, you know, onboarded to the company and that type of crap. And yeah, it's just been, to give you an idea, I was not done working until, I don't know, 11 hours in, almost 12.
That really sucks, man.
Mm.
It sucks. And what really sucks is I'm hourly, so yes, I do make overtime, but like, if I wanted to take a sanity day tomorrow, the, I don't know, 3 hours of overtime that I basically got today would be gone.
That sucks.
Yeah, well.
All right. Well,
anyway.
Such is life.
Yeah.
And we go on, and, you know, at least there's Top Gun Maverick.
Yep.
So let's take a break and we'll get Adam some rest for a few minutes and so he can rest his aching fingers, and we'll come back right after this with more Radio Free Galaxy. This episode of Radio Free Galaxy is brought to you by KFC Mashed Potato Body Wash. It doesn't clean for shit, but boy, does it taste good.
I forgot my line.
Welcome back to the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
This is episode 104 of Radio Free Galaxy, and Adam, Christine, and I are so excited to bring you our review of Top Gun Maverick. We've all been looking forward to this movie for a couple years. It was finished in 2020, and because of the pandemic, Tom Cruise and the other producers of the movie and director, they were dedicated to bringing this movie to theaters and theaters only, especially at first, you know. They didn't want to do a streaming release of this movie. And after seeing it, I totally understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But I really appreciate that. There's certain movies that need to be seen in theaters. Releasing a movie on streaming just cheapens the experience, in my opinion. there's movies that are meant to be seen on a big screen, and this is definitely one of them. So while I didn't need a Top Gun sequel, I was excited from the trailers to see this, and I know what a dedicated movie maker Tom Cruise is. You know what I mean? For cinematic movies, and what a champion he is of cinema. And, you know, yeah, blockbusters and stuff, you know, but like, man, we need more people. Like, look, you can talk about his private life and, you know, Scientology and all that stuff. But if you just want to talk about his work life and what he does, the man is dedicated to making great movies. Once in a while, there's a flop in there, but he's dedicated to making movies for the cinema, and I really appreciate that. So we are going to get into spoilers for Top Gun Maverick. If you really want to see it, you can duck out, but we'll give our non-spoiler thoughts starting out. I'll start. I think this Adam it's great. It's great. This is I've got so many things I want to say, but it's great. This is a movie. This is a fucking movie. I love this so much, this movie. Not even so much because it's a Top Gun movie and a great Top Gun movie, but just because it's a movie. It's a movie made for the cinema with all of that stuff that we used to get in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s when cinematic movies were much more common. It's got the cheesy dialogue. It's got the two handsome men. It's got the way too pretty ladies. It's got the jet fighters. It's got like people wearing sunglasses. Everything's badass. Everything's cool. It's got the touching moments, the great needle drops. It's got everything. It's got everything you want in a movie. And it's got inventive storylines. It takes the plot a couple of different places where you don't think it's going to go. I think it's fantastic. It's not too long. I sat on the edge of my seat in the theater watching it the whole time.
He did.
He so did.
I never once put up my recliner in my seat.
No, he didn't.
And all of a sudden it was over and I was just like, shit, that was 2 hours and 10 minutes. Could have fucking fooled me, man. Because that fucking movie just zoomed by like a fucking jet. And it was great. And I loved it. Adam, what'd you think?
Let me give you the short version real quick here. Just 1 second.
Danger zone.
So, yeah. Thank you, H. John Benjamin, for that. And Archer. I gave credit where credit's due on that, so can't sue us, can't demonetize us, fuck you. All right, so I'll be honest. The movie is a little formulaic. Anyone who's going to come at us and say, like, well, dude, it's kind of formulaic, blah, 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 I saw it, blah. Yeah, it is. Because there's nothing new and there's nothing original. It's not an exact retread of the first movie. It's not a retread of any movie that I've recently seen. It follows a very ABC 1-2-3 storyline.
Yep.
But it's just good. Like, it's got everything Travis said. You kind of missed something there, Travis. It's got a little comic relief in there, bro.
It does.
Adam, you're absolutely right. One of the reasons that it's great, though, is because it's wonderfully formulaic. It hits all the beats you're supposed to hit in a great blockbuster action movie.
It followed a proven formula well.
Yep.
And it
didn't make a mockery of any of those things. And it didn't make a mockery of the original. Even when they go like scene for scene, kind of replicating the scenes in the original, it does it in a different way to keep it a little more interesting. And it gives they give a reason why they're doing those things. You know,
there is not one moment in that film where I'm watching this and I wanted to roll my eyes at an actor at all.
No.
I didn't want to roll my eyes at a shitty sequence.
No.
You know? There was really not much for me to be critical of the movie itself. Like you said, dude, fuck Tom Cruise's his politics, his crazy cult that he's in and all that. Just ignore that for a second if you can. You know, if you can't, cool, whatever. More power to you. Yeah. Have your convictions. I respect that.
Totally.
100 and, well, I can only give 100% because I don't have more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's either 100 or nothing. So there's no 110%. Sorry, there's real math. But yeah, I mean, like, if you enjoy movies, man, by all means, go fucking see it.
If you enjoy movies, and if you're, even though this is a sequel, it's very much a sequel.
I like this, that you could watch this by itself.
You could.
You really could.
There's
enough flashback in it.
Yep.
Without being, intrusive.
Mm-hmm. You could watch it standalone. It stands alone as a movie. It's, in my opinion, it's perfect. It's a perfect movie. It's everything that you want in a movie. God damn these planes. especially in an age where we just don't get these anymore. Like, I saw a lot of trailers for movies, yesterday while we were watching this movie. before we were watching, going to watch this movie, and a lot of them are sequels. Almost everything that we saw a trailer for is a sequel, and some of them look really great. But none of them look like they're going to stand alone to me as a movie. You know, like the new Thor movie looks awesome. Totally excited for it. Great. You know, but like, is it going to stand alone like this as a singular sequel, as a singular movie? I very much doubt it. I very much doubt it. Just because of the formula of Marvel anyway. Christine, what are your thoughts?
I absolutely love this movie. I mean, on our way over to the movie theater, Danger Zone did play. And anytime I wanted to talk, all I heard from Travis is, rad, 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 rad. Oh, this is so rad. Rad, 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 rad. Like, this was something that we were hoping would hit every spot and then some. Because, like, they've done repeats of, like, Point Break and all that. And it's so awful because it's so forced. This felt natural. Everyone felt like they wanted to be there. And they all got what Top Gun was about. And I love the original Top Gun. I don't really care about Tom Cruise's personal life. I really don't. He's a fantastic actor. And when he wants to act and be motivated, he is in it to win it. And this movie was fantastic. Like, I'm glad I was able to see it, like, late at night. Like, yeah, the time went by so quickly because I was enjoying this as an official movie. It would have sucked being at home to watch that, like, you know, on some streaming channel.
Right, absolutely. And, yeah, we did have that serendipitous moment when Christine and I are racing to get to the theater because Adam's already there in the parking lot waiting for us. And, you know, it's about 10 to 11 minute drive from our house to the theater. And about 6 minutes into the drive, fucking Danger Zone comes on the radio. We're listening to the broadcast radio, the local broadcast radio. It didn't come on my Spotify list or anything like that. Fucking Danger Zone came on the fucking radio on our way there to see Top Gun, and it played all the way until we parked the car. Fucking perfect.
If there's a drive your ass because you're in a hurry song, dude, that is a excellent fucking drive your ass. Like, don't get me wrong, Slayer's great driving fucking fast music, but like Kenny Loggins' fucking Danger Zone, dude, come on.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into spoilers. We love the fucking movie. It's great. I also just want to say it was just one of the funnest experiences I've had at a movie in a long time. Like, it reminded me why I love movies. It reminded me why I love going to the theater. We all three of us walked out of there just smiling and just couldn't wait to talk about it.
Yep.
It was...
I had to keep silencing you, like, on our way home because he wanted to talk about it. I'm like, no, save it for tomorrow. Save it for tomorrow. Like, I want to talk about it, too.
Normally, like, in, you know, it's, Travis likes to occasionally, you know, let you guys know and make fun of me a little bit. I pass out during movies because I'm a fat dude, and, like, I just, it's, I'm comfortable, I'm doing something I enjoy, and then all of a sudden I'm out, and Travis is fucking elbowing me, and it's all good, you know, because he doesn't want me to miss something. Travis didn't have to fucking elbow me once, because the entire time, we're fucking smacking each other in the leg, like, dude, like, little fucking, like, 8-year-old kids. I'd say the worst part of that fucking movie was that goddamn aircon fucking vent in there, making noises. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, yeah, there was a fucking
rattly ass fucking aircon vent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, vent, it was right in front. And I first thought, like, it was because they were in some kind of ratty, like, area where they were getting his airplane. I'm like, oh, no, it's actually in this theater. And, like, anytime there'd be, like, a quiet moment in the movie, like, where, like, they're all being too hot to trot, talking to each other, you know, with, like, you know, John Hamm and all that, then you'd hear the... I'm like, god damn it. It was irritating, but I was able to get over it because the movie was just that damn good. Like, now I want to fight a jet fighter, or I want to fly a jet fighter.
Yeah, so let's get into spoilers a little bit. my favorite scene, I think, in the whole movie was they had gone through with the mission, and Tom Cruise and Miles Teller...
Rooster.
Yeah. Both crashed, and now they're stuck in... I love the fact, too, that the enemy country was just the enemy country. They didn't name, like, they didn't make up...
Nope.
They didn't make up a fake country. They just referred to it as the enemy country. Like, I love that. And there was no, like,
It was like an old school, like, quest in a Nintendo game. Like, hey, your target's over here. You need to get your guys over here and need to get out. And then America.
Who cares? Who the hell cares what the country is? Yeah, like, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And, like, why pick out anybody? You know what I mean? Like, why say the Russians?
Nope.
Why say North Korea? Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, we can put those things together in our head and make up our own headcanon. Like, it's totally fine with me.
They didn't even identify a country of origin for the enemy aircraft. It was just fifth generation fighter. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
It's a fifth generation fighter. And if you're not a military buff, that just basically means advanced airframe, can do cool fucking shit in the air, like aerobatic shit, and yeah.
Yeah, so my favorite scene, though, they're both crashed, and then they're like, how the hell did we get out of there? So they've got to go into the enemy base, the enemy air base, which they just fucking bombed.
They don't fucking have to. Maverick gets the harebrained idea. Fucking put the jack move. And, like, Rooster's just like, you're kidding me, right? We're really going to go, like...
Well, the thing is...
fuck?
Yeah, because, like, they're trying to steal an aircraft that is, like, from the 80s that's just stuck in this, like, concrete. Yeah, an F-14. And Rooster's like, this thing is ancient. And, like, Tom Cruise is, like, banging on the things and, like, the modules and controls. Like, yep, still works. Get it started. Do this, this, and this, you know? And it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's a feel-good movie. It's a rad movie. But it doesn't feel like it's, like, pushing it over the edge on you. Like, you know, where it's like, I don't know. Like, Tom Cruise is able to pull that charming and easily believable cool guy. I mean, everyone in this movie is just way too cool. But Top Gun makes that work. Yeah. Like, what's his name? The kind of bad, over-the-top, cool dude.
Hangman?
Yeah, Hangman. What's his name?
Glenn Powell.
Dude, this guy plays the I want to punch you in the face so bad, dude.
He's a Val Kilmer.
He's the Val Kilmer.
Yeah, he is. He's the Iceman. Yeah. Like, dude, I'm like, oh my God. Like, he's got that pretty punchable face, and he's got that sneering attitude that I'm the best. And I'm like, yes, yes, this was meant for you to be in here.
Yeah.
Because like, I was like, oh, I hate him. I'm like, okay, well then, okay, he's got those emotions from me. So, okay, he's doing his job.
He's doing his job. But then, you know, he ends up redeeming himself in the end. And you kind of always knew that he would.
Yeah.
A lot of the other side characters, I liked Bob a lot.
What's your call sign? Bob.
Bob was great.
Bob and Phoenix.
Phoenix was really good.
Fanboy was cool.
Fanboy, Hangman, Fritz, Omaha, Halo, Coyote, Yale, Harvard. John Hamm as Admiral Bo Simpson, a.k.a. Cyclone. He was great. He just was not having any of Tom Cruise's shit.
Dude, John...
And that's how you want a commanding officer in one of these movies to be. They're just not having any of your shit, and as soon as they can get your fucking nuts in a vice, they're going to have you.
And what better dude than John Hamm? Like, he can play the straight, like, business-type man, but he can also play, like, you don't want to mess with me, man. You're on your last rope. You're on your last rope with me. Don't push it.
Yeah, he gets that disgusted look on his face so well, and you're just like, you just feel like demeaned, but fucking doesn't fucking bother Maverick one bit, man. Pete Mitchell has seen worse, man. And I liked Tom Cruise's second in command, Hondo.
Hondo was really cool.
You had John Hamm's two-star admiral, Warlock, was cool. His voice is so commanding.
Like, one of my favorite scenes was when Tom Cruise, like, comes in and everyone's like, oh, this is the guy that's going to teach us how to be best of the best and better. And he's like, okay, if you lose against me, I'll have to do 200 push-ups.
No, the rookies made the bet with him.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Thinking that they're all better than him.
Right.
No, but I love that where he just owns all of them, and Hondo is like getting tired of counting to 200 because come on, man, I'm getting really tired of this shit. Like, I love that because was Tom Cruise actually flying a jet plane?
Yes.
Tom Cruise is one of those dudes I gotta give major respect for doing his own stunts. Like, there's very few like actors. I mean, Jackie Chan's like the only other one I can think off the top of my head that does all his like stunts, even to like breaking bone points. But it's like, of course this dude knows how to fly a jet plane. Like, that's like, you know, if you're gonna die in something awesome, I mean, why not that?
Yeah, in most of those scenes he was physically in a jet flying them. Because he can.
Yeah.
So why the fuck not?
Like,
right?
Dude, if I could learn how to do that and do it, I would so do it.
When he's when they show his face like contorting because he's pulling fucking massive G's, he's really in a jet fucking pulling massive fucking G's. That's why he looks like that.
That's insane. Like, I mean, I was thinking, like, you know what? The way like the lights and the shading of like the jet going by on like some of the little skirmishes he was doing, I'm like, dude, that seems so real. I think he's actually doing it. And you know what? It's major respect for that because most people would just have some CGI simulated bullshit behind them. 59-year-old
Tom Cruise. 59-year-old fucking ageless fucking Tom Cruise. Let's talk about Miles Teller as Rooster. Bradley Bradshaw Rooster, who is the son of Goose. In this story, what happened is Miles Teller wanted to go to Top Gun, but Pete Mitchell had thrown out his application to get into Top Gun. And so he ended up
I don't think it was that. I think he actually threw out his application to the Navy, period.
Yeah, something like that.
To be an aviator.
Right,
like,
right.
So, he joined the Navy.
Yeah.
And then when he tried to become an aviator, that's when Tom Cruise was like, well, your mom kind of doesn't want that to happen. Fuck you.
Yeah, something like that. So Rooster has some resentment, to say the least, against Maverick, because not only the whole dad thing, you know, but also because he held back his career for 4 years and, you know, like, he's mad at him. But Tom Cruise, you know, or I'm sorry, Maverick was trying to protect him, and you find out that he had made a promise to, well, I assume it would be Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
To Meg Ryan, you know, Goose's wife and Rooster's mother, before she died. They just say that she died in this movie.
She got Disneyed.
She got Disneyed, and Rooster got double Disneyed.
So, he did.
Yeah. So he's got some resentment towards Maverick. So they've got the movie, throughout the movie, there's this tension between them, and it builds and it builds, and then it doesn't really get resolved right away. I mean, they've actually literally got to save each other's life before, like, they can come to, like, some kind of understanding, and, like, they really got to, in the heat of the battle, you know, like, find their connection, you know. And man, the whole Rooster storyline was beautiful. It was touching. It was great. The little mustache, he looks so much like Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He looks so much like Goose. I loved it. It wasn't forced to me.
No.
It was just great. And another touching moment was the Val Kilmer scene.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Val Kilmer's real life struggles, like what he's had to go through with like throat surgeries and throat cancer and the fact that he has trouble speaking now. What he had to go through to just be in this movie and just speak the couple lines that he did, and the kind of natural way that they brought him in.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was really touching. It worked perfectly for the story. It didn't seem like it was just shoved in to, like, give fan service. And let me be clear. This entire movie is fan service. This entire fucking movie is fan service. But for this kind of fandom, that's exactly what you want. You want fan service, and you want it done in a new and exciting way, and this entire movie is fucking fan service, and that's fucking wonderful. So yes, give us a little Val Kilmer, even though, you know, he's not what he used to be, man. Give it to us anyway. Jennifer Connelly was beautiful, great actress, loved her. The girl that played her daughter, Amelia, was fantastic. And yeah, I got the air combat scenes and the riding on the motorcycle scenes and just It was everything I had hoped it would be, and so much more.
Honestly, this is probably the best movie that I've seen, and it'll probably be the best movie all year, because I don't think anything can really top that.
Adam said it last night when we walked out of the theater. Best movie of the year. It's mm-hmm. June right now. Fucking, I agree with Adam. Mark it right now.
Yep.
I dare you. I dare you, movies. I dare you, movies, to come out with a better
Take
movie than this
Take up the challenge,
movie.
Movies. We want to see better out of you.
I
want to
see
on,
better
man.
Out of you, but I highly fucking doubt it. There's other movies I'm going to like this year. That Jurassic Park movie
oh,
looks
God.
Fucking hilarious, and I can't oh. wait to see it. But there's not a chance in hell it'll be as good as this.
No.
But I challenge all other movies that are still being made or are in post-production, be better than Top Gun Maverick. You have a lot to live up to.
Dude, what if Jurassic Park just had raptors inside of jet fighters?
Fuck yeah.
I'm just saying, that's the next one they're going to do.
I don't know that it won't. It might be in this movie. That crazy trailer is blowing my mind. But anyway, we're talking about Top Gun. Is there anything else you guys want to get to in this? I mean, I could go on with scenes and scenes and scenes. But
I mean, like, one of the last and best scenes, or actually a middle scene, is when they're playing, football on the beach.
Yeah. And that's what I mean about the sometimes
fighter pilot football, like, both offense and defense at the same time, two balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a team-building exercise. It was gratuitous in the first one. It's gratuitous in this one with hot, sweaty, shirtless men. But that's what you want in a Top Gun movie. And it has a purpose to be in the storyline. They weren't coming together as a team. You need some kind of team building exercise. You need something outside of the box. And they fucking did it. And yeah, does it come together a little too easy? But yeah. But you know what? These are ace fighter pilots, not your average people.
It's because Maverick figures out that, like, him being their opposition isn't bringing them together. Like, you can't beat the old man.
Right.
That and the Admiral's right. Like, you've been showing them the entire time, like, why they're not going to make it.
Right. Exactly. So, man, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie.
We highly suggest you see this movie. Even if you're not into that kind of type of movie, you might actually like it because it is well done.
Yeah. And it's
favorite great. Part of the whole movie, honestly, besides them stealing the F-14.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning, Tom Cruise fucking goes into that diner.
Oh, God, yeah.
Sword, grabs that water, drinks some, puts it down, asks where he is, and that little kid.
Earth.
Like, yes!
He looks like a fucking spaceman.
Well, yeah, like he was going like 10 G's or whatever.
No, he was Mach 10.
Mach 10. I'm sorry, Mach 10. Blew
10
up his
times
thing.
The speed of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. He blew that up and had to walk to some dinky little nowhere diner, and he's looking like a spaceman, just drinks the water, doesn't say anything. It's just, where am I? And it's like, kid's like, Earth. Like, it's like, fuck you.
Fucking fantastic.
It's great.
Oh, shit. There was something else that I wanted to mention, too. Everything works out in this movie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I saw some kind of theory online that this entire movie is kind of a Pete Mitchell-like near-death fever dream. How, like, everything works out in the end. Because, you know, like, the whole... All of them come back alive. You know what I mean? This is a Top Gun movie, so you're figuring if it's a little formulaic like the first one, somebody has to die, right? And so you're wondering who's going to die the whole time.
And there's a spot where you're like, kind of like, okay, this is where the person bites it.
Right, and nobody does.
And then you're
does.
Like, it doesn't happen. And there's more parts where you're like, all right, this is where somebody's going to bite it. Nope.
And you're wondering the whole time, well, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be Phoenix. You know
what
I mean?
That's actually an excellent theory. Because how cool would it be, like, right at the end?
Yeah.
It's his life flashing before his fucking eyes as he's biting it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In the fucking test plane in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's something to think about, but it's just too perfect. Great. That's why the theory is out there, is because the movie just ends up too perfect. He gets the girl.
Fucking movie!
Yeah,
it's a movie.
It's the hero's supposed to ride off into the sunset, and at the end of this movie, they actually do fly off into the sunset.
They do.
Like, I realize, Empire is my favorite movie, followed up by fucking Rogue One. Like, come on, dude. Like, even I'm okay with it having everything works out in the end.
Yeah.
Like, I can accept that. What the fuck's wrong with other people?
Oh. Well, one thing we also didn't mention, Adam, and we both looked at each other when they were explaining the mission. We didn't say it, but I mean, I looked over at you and I'm like, dude, it's the Death Star Trench Run. They're doing the Death Star Trench Run.
Yeah, like, not once. Twice.
I mean, like, the whole mission is the Death Star Trench Run. Yeah. It's got a few little more twists and turns in it and everything, but...
I don't know if that's, like, a nod to it. Or if it was like, fuck it.
I think it is an outright nod to it, and because the movie is such a fan of movies. Like, this movie is a fan of movies. You know what I mean? So to show something, a lot of movies that are fans of other movies will do that, where they'll take from other movies, but in homage to them, not just stealing from them, you know. And I saw that as an homage to the Death Star Trench Run. I didn't see it as absolutely stealing, because it was too obvious. It was way too obvious that it was a Death Star Trench Run, you know what I mean? So, like, but to do it with, like, Navy jets on Earth, it was clever, it was cool, and they added little twists to it that aren't in that, you know. They made it harder than the Death Star Trench Run.
Yeah, because it's not a straight fucking equatorial line.
No, they've got to go through that fucking canyon. They've got a time limit. They've got to go against the fifth generation fighters. They've got to go against the surface-to-air missiles, which when those surface-to-air missiles started popping and they had to, like, release the flak and stuff, dude, those scenes were so visceral and fucking cool. The dogfight scenes we haven't talked about enough are so rad in this movie. The inventive creativity of coming up with, I want to call it, the fight choreography of the dogfights, yes, was so creative. There was things I've seen them, I saw them do with planes in this movie, I've never thought about that you could do with a plane. Yeah, maybe they're not real.
I was not aware that you could do the Cobra maneuver in an F-18 Hornet.
No idea.
Even though it's been modernized several times over the course of its 20 plus, if not longer, years, like, somebody who's more of a fucking plane buff than I am, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, they'll make it more than welcome to comment, because nobody ever comments. But anyway, yeah, like, I don't know if the Hornet is a fourth or a third generation fighter.
I don't know.
But it's definitely not a fifth.
Yeah.
Our F-22 Raptor, and then the F-whatever-the-fuck that's also known as the Eurofighter, those are fucking fifth generation fighters. They'd even go at this with a fucking fifth generation fighter themselves. I'm sure they had access to them. Right. Like, it's the Navy, for fuck's sake. They do have a fifth generation fighter.
Of course. But for, jeez, yeah, that whole scene was awesome. But yeah, the dogfight choreography is something that it was creative.
It was awesome.
It was creative, inventive. It reminded me on the level of watching John Wick for the first time. And seeing, like, the gun-fu that they were doing there.
Gunkata.
Like, gunkata, gunfu, whatever you want to call it. The fighting style in that movie. Like, I've seen that before. But they did such creative, inventive things in John Wick. This now that I'm thinking about it and I mentioned it, this movie reminds me a lot of John Wick. Because John Wick is such a movie as well. And it completely has scenes where it bites off other movies, but does it in a homage way and in a new creative way. And I mean, that movie is such a fan of other movies, and this movie feels just like that. Like, oh my God, like, fantastic. Round of applause. Great movie. This movie has set a limit that other movies need to fucking live up to. So,
If there's a post-credit scene, I'm gonna be upset at you.
I don't think there is, Adam.
I'm sure there's not, but
I don't
still.
Think there is. Because maybe there is. We can look that up in the break and talk about it, but we left when the credits hit. I waited until, like, the visuals were at least off before I left. You know, I was thinking there might be that first, like, mid-credit scene. But I think that Tom Cruise is such a fan of just standalone movies. I don't think he wants to do a post-credit scene. You know, I could be wrong. I could find out in a minute or two.
There was
that
a pre-credit thank you from him for coming to see it.
Right. But I don't think there's a post-credit scene, because it just wants to stand alone as a movie that you get from beginning to end. And then that's it. That's the movie. You know? I love Marvel and their post-credit scenes, but it gets to be a little much. But this is a different thing than any Marvel movie. You know, it's only a movie as that is a movie, and just because you don't want to, like, separate them into two different things. This is a very different thing than a Marvel movie or a DC movie. This is what we used to get every week in theaters and now rarely ever get. So I fucking love it. Christine loves it. Adam loves it. Please go see Top Gun Maverick in the theater. You will not be disappointed, I promise you. And stay tuned. After the break, we'll be talking about episode 3 of Obi-Wan Kenobi right after this. This episode of Radio Free Galaxy is brought to you by Mr. T's Knuckle Shoes. They're the only brass knuckle shoes on the market for when pitying a fool ain't quite enough. Mr. T's Knuckle Shoes. Get some! Alright, we're back on Radio Free Galaxy for one more segment. We've got episode 3 of Obi-Wan Kenobi to talk about. And in this episode, they have escaped on this mechanized freighter to, what's the name of the planet, this mining planet that they went to? Adam, do you remember the name of this planet?
Nope, my brain is fried, bro. All
right, well.
Long day.
You know.
I can look it up, though.
Random mining planet that the Empire has taken over and they're draining it for all it's worth and, you know, that whole jazz. And so Leia and Obi-Wan have escaped there. And the idea is they're going to try to get transport off of this planet, but they're supposed to meet somebody there that's in, like, this underground movement. And they get to the planet, and the person doesn't show up. So they've got to make their way to the closest spaceport and try to avoid all Empire interference or getting noticed by the Empire because they're wanted throughout the galaxy now. And, So, I mean, this is really building up to the end of the episode when we get the confrontation between Anakin and Obi-Wan for the first time since they left each other in episode 3 of, you know, the movies on Mustafar. And the scene in this episode with Darth Vader and putting on his suit is one of, you know, they keep giving us more like Darth Vader stuff and it can get a little tiresome, especially after Rogue One, when he's seen, you know, that scene at the end of Rogue One when he kicks so much ass, you're figuring, okay, do we really need any more Darth Vader in live action? And the answer is yes and no. Because it's really good in this episode. And especially when you give us new shit that we haven't seen. Putting the armor on, that scene was pretty fucking cool. It was pretty menacing. And all of his scenes in this are very menacing. I just question, though, if it's too much. Are we just going back to Darth Vader? For is it too soon in this series, like in episode 3 of the series? Like I'm thinking there has to be another confrontation by the end of the series, right?
Of course.
But like, are they going to that too soon already? Like, are they blowing their load right away at him?
Yes and no. So, let me find it here real quick. It won't take long because it wasn't too long ago.
Like, I'm not denying the scenes in this episode were great. They were great, and James Earl Jones's voice was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
everything was great. I'm just wondering about the overall arc of the series, like, they're kind of building up Reva to be the villain of this series, and I was digging her. You know, I know a lot of people aren't, but I was digging her, and then they kind of throw her in the background because they've got Darth Vader, and to blow him on episode 3, there has to be another confrontation by the time episode 6 happens. So you see, Obi-Wan, trying to get in contact with Qui-Gon, and he's trying to get, more in contact with the Force. There's going to be probably some revelation in this series that shows him finally getting in contact and quieting his mind and, you know, getting back in tune with the Force. I don't know how that's going to happen, but, I'm wondering what the overall arc of this series is. What story are they really trying to tell here? And why did Darth Vader need to be in episode 3?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, while I found the scene for him putting his arm around was cool, the thing is, I don't know, maybe they were trying to use that as a catalyst for Obi-Wan to get back into the Force, because he is rough right now when it comes to using the Force. He can barely do, any jumps or flips like he was doing in the first 3 movies, you know, where he was, jumping and, doing all kinds of cool, Jedi stuff.
And he's not that much older.
No, I think his spirit is just more broken. But then, when he finds out about Vader in the last one that he's, Anakin survived, that absolute dread where his stomach dropped happened, and seeing him, coming at him with a red saber, I think maybe we'll jumpstart him into, trying to get in hold with Yoda, you know, and Qui-Gon and all that, or just some kind of, get back into training. So I think he's being more used as a motivational piece right now. So at the end, maybe Vader will come back, and then they'll have their final duel or another, decent duel. I don't know if they put him in too early, but I'm thinking it might just be to be used as, oh, crap, this is really, really serious. I better get back into shape.
Right. What were you saying, Adam?
I was thinking about something. I'm looking for something real quick, and it's having problems finding it.
No, it's all right. I like this episode. I like the series overall.
Damn it, it wasn't in text. Oh. So, it was pretty good. There's a point, Buddy Nick pointed out, is hey, you remember in episode 4 where, you know, Vader's when we last met, I was but the learner, now I am the master. He's just yeah, that just kind of gets thrown out the window.
I don't think so. I don't think so, though, Adam. I agree with you, but that line is so iconic that they have to come back to another confrontation where that is the truth. They have to.
I hope so, because Obi-Wan is out of fighting trim, dude, and he got punked.
Yeah, and for that to be the last confrontation, where later on in episode 4, he comes back and says that, you know, when we last met, I was the learner. They're not going to let that happen in an Obi-Wan series. They're going to show that moment. I think that's what this whole episode is building to, is Obi-Wan getting his faith back, finding the Force again, finding his purpose again, and coming to that confrontation where he does teach Vader another lesson. Yeah. He does teach him another lesson. It's going to happen. So, yes, I really like this episode and the duel scene. When Vader stands there and holds that lightsaber for the first time and just says nothing, it's so fucking menacing. When he's walking through that town, just murking people with his Force powers to draw out fucking Obi-Wan, dude.
That was brutal.
That is prime Vader. That is prime Vader, when he's at the height of his powers and he's at the height of his fucking dark side tendencies, and he's just, he'll fucking do anything for his ambitions. He'll do anything for revenge. He'll do anything, you know? Everybody in his way is just a tool, you know?
So, I've got, not a theory, but, I have an idea where this is going. Yeah. Story-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you kind of already know because episode 4. but aside from that, with this series specifically, and not keeping more episode 4 in mind, because I don't think it really relates to Rogue One at all.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking that... this is really going to be where Vader starts his his reign of just fucking killing motherfuckers who disappoint him.
Yeah.
Because he warns people.
Yeah.
But has he really done it yet? No. I mean,
not in live action. In comics and stuff, he has.
Right.
Yeah. So, here's
the thing with the comics. They're like, are they current comics? Because if they're not current, then it's the old EU, and then the mouse wipes their ass with it. Like, you know.
Well, I'm talking about, like, the current, like, Darth Vader comic and, like, the Dr. Aphra type stuff where he's in there. Like, he's murking a lot of people in there, too. So, I mean, but, I mean, yes, that's canon, but also a lot of fans don't get into the comics and the novels. And so, I mean, yes, it's happening, but, like, as far as live action, I don't think you can really count it. We're talking about live action. It's a total different thing. And I thought James Earl Jones' voice was on point. I had heard some complaints about it before I saw the episode, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He fucking sounds great. I thought he sounded better in this than he did in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever problems they had with his voice in Rogue One, they fixed that audio in this one because he sounded fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He sounded great. And it's just wonderful. Good. Didn't bother me that much. I'm just, you know, I'm still apprehensive about just where this is all going. And I think it's going to end on a good place. I'm glad that it's only 6 episodes. But, yeah, we'll talk more about it next week and in the coming weeks. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about. And we also did get a Quinlan Vos mention in this one, too. So
yeah.
That was kind of cool. And, yeah, so sweet. Good episode. That whole thing about the path where they've got, like, this underground railroad for Jedi that they're basically ferreting off to safety. You know, there's a lot of hope for other Jedi that are still out there surviving. We know at least Quinlan Vos is still alive and some others. And so, yeah, good Star Wars. Good Star Wars.
It's good Star Wars.
It's good Star Wars. So, anyway.
I just gotta say, dude, it's so weird watching Obi-Wan just rocking a blaster.
It is, and that's the first thing that he goes for, too. You know what I mean? Like, when he's fighting the stormtroopers, he goes for the blaster first before his lightsaber.
Yeah, well, he's also trying to keep a low cover, even when he is
out. But it's blown.
Well, true, but he's also, like, dude, he's out of practice. He's out of shape to pull a saber. Like, dude, he's not doing any, like, you know, mind manipulation or anything, which is something he could easily do by the time he meets Luke. You know, with just some basic ass stormtroopers. So, like, he is, like, basically told himself for the last 10 years to not use the Force, and now all of a sudden he has to use the Force.
Right.
He's been using a blaster this entire time, so he's going to kind of go for something that's just become a habit.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll get more of his, like, Jedi stuff, or at least some form of that in the extra episodes.
Agreed.
Because right now, like, yeah, he's really held back, but I believe once he gets past that barrier, like, it's no holds barred.
I want that moment, and we're going to get it, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great moment when he finally does come to that place of peace.
Yeah.
And I think it has to come, I don't know if it comes, it has to come before the next confrontation with Vader. It has to.
Well, he might have to, like, maybe Qui-Gon will finally get a hold of him and start, like, yeah, because he's not at peace right now, so he can't use the Force like he used to.
I don't
he's
think
not
it's
there
a matter
yet.
Of Qui-Gon getting a hold of him. I think it's a matter of him getting a hold of Qui-Gon.
His
mind isn't
mind.
Quiet enough. His
he's got
mind
quiet
is
his mind.
He's not, you know, he's too in his emotions. He's full of fear.
Well, right now, yeah, and, you know, fear leads to hate. And
yeah.
Hate and leads, you know, suffering and stuff. And so, like, right now he's at a very volatile state, but I believe in you, Obi-Wan. You'll come through this.
Yeah, it's such a broken, sad Obi-Wan. I just want him to be whole again. It, like, makes me so sad to see that look in his eyes when he, like, looks at Leia.
Dude,
and just,
his,
like,
witty sayings. Like, I miss his, you know, repertoire right now.
Once in a while, he'll pull one out. Once in a while, he'll pull one out and be the old Obi-Wan for, like, 1 second, and then it's right back to sad eyes and fucking disheveled Obi-Wan.
Cranky old Obi-Wan.
I just want it back so bad. So, anyway, we'll get to more Obi-Wan next week, and that's the end of the episode for Radio Free Galaxy for this week. Thank you all for listening. Please remember to leave us a rating and review on all the places that you can, which are Apple Podcasts, you can leave a rating and review, and you can leave us a star rating on the Spotify app. It just takes you 1 second, and it helps us out a lot. It's totally free. Please do that. Also, remember to subscribe to the Radio Free Galaxy YouTube channel. We just hit 300 subscribers this week. And
how many views, Travis? How many views?
Right now we're at about 210,000 views on YouTube. So a lot of videos of Christine on there, and a lot of videos of stuff I've digitized from VHS tapes, commercials, and fun little tidbits and stuff. A lot of nostalgia. Over 630 videos, ooh, I think, on the Radio Free Galaxy YouTube channel. A lot of content. So, and you can easily digest it. It's all little bite-sized stuff. So, more coming on that as well. So please subscribe to us on YouTube. And also remember to go to TeePublic and check out some of Christine, aka So Geek Girl's t-shirt designs that she has on TeePublic. I ordered one and I'm still waiting for it to arrive. I can't wait for it to get here. But where can people find that on TeePublic?
It's on TeePublic. My name is So Geek Girl, SEWGEEK Girl, just spelled normally. I have several new designs up there, and I plan on working on a few new ones. Like, you never know what you're going to find, but there are some super rad designs out there for you.
If you like succubus cooch,
and who doesn't?
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's why we refer to them as sexy buses.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You should definitely go check that out if you like the sexy buses.
For sure. So thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week on Radio Free Galaxy.
Bye.